morning, we are going to be looking at another of the parables. And we're going to be looking at the Good Samaritan this morning. Now, I'm sure at some stage, probably quite a number of times, you've looked at the Good Samaritan. And I'm sure you've seen dramas and skits of this parable. But as we go through, I'm hoping that you will see the little twist in the tale that is very often missed in this parable. Now, the passage starts with an expert in Mosaic law. He's called a lawyer, although he's not a court lawyer. He's a temple lawyer. He's an expert in the Mosaic law. Asking Jesus how he could obtain eternal life. And that's the clue to the twist in the tale. Eternal life. In other words, this whole passage is about salvation. And Jesus could have gone down a more conventional route in order to answer the lawyer's question. He could have simply explained salvation in a sort of a way that maybe a missionary would. But instead, Jesus used it as an opportunity to describe what his followers' relationships should look like and how the relationships should be shaped by love. Now, rather than getting into an argument with the lawyer, Jesus answered the lawyer's first question, how can I get eternal salvation, with a question of his own. And by asking that question, Jesus was actually referring the lawyer back to the Old Testament, something that they could both agree on. So at that point, let's have a look at the passage. So, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So, Jesus said to this man to refer him to the Old Testament, something they could both agree on. And in verse 27, we have that Old Testament verse. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." What this meant was that Jesus evaluated the lawyer's answer rather than allowing the lawyer to evaluate his answer. Jesus then went on to say that this required more than just an emotional response. The lawyer had to practice what he preached. And the lawyer knew that he couldn't keep these commands. Indeed, he didn't even want to. There would always be people he couldn't love. And in an attempt to limit the commands or the parameters, he asks the question, "Who are my neighbours?" Now, in the Greek, neighbour means someone who is near, who's physically near you. And in the Hebrew, it means someone who is associated with you. In other words, family, friends, work colleagues, respectable people, in the case of the lawyer. And this therefore cuts out all Samaritans, Romans, and anybody else who is not a Jew. Jesus then tells the lawyer and the crowd that were with him the parable of the Good Samaritan. The first 2 people to pass the injured man were a priest and a Levite. Both of these men should have known God's law, and we just heard it said, of loving a neighbour as yourself. God's laws of love. But both decided to walk on the other side of the road. They passed by, didn't bother with him, left him lying there. And then the Samaritan enters the story. Now, the Jews considered the Samaritans to be inferior because they had intermarried with the Gentiles and did not follow all the laws, all the Mosaic laws that the Jews followed. As a result, the Jews kept themselves separate from the Samaritans, in the same way that they kept themselves separate from all other Gentiles. They kept their rules of being clean and only associating with other Jews. But the Samaritan was the true hero of the day, going above and beyond anything that was expected of him. Now, we are not told if the injured man was a Jew or a Gentile, But it didn't matter. The Samaritan saw beyond religion, race, and ethnicity. He simply helped a man in dire, dire need. And it's at this point that we start to see the twist in the tale. Jesus asks the lawyer who was the true neighbour. Can we please bring up verse 37 again? Because there's something very, very telling in this verse. The lawyer replied, the one who had mercy on him. The lawyer couldn't bring himself to say, the Samaritan. He couldn't bring himself to acknowledge that the hero of the day wasn't a Jew, it was a Samaritan. And at that point, the lawyer knew that he would never be able to keep the commands, love thy neighbour as yourself. And neither can we. Due to our sinful condition that puts self before others, a condition that repeatedly puts our own interests, desires, and self-centeredness demands before others. Now, I want to stop a little bit at this point, because that sounds very harsh to some of you. We have got people in the church who would do anything for anybody. And indeed they do. They go, they visit. They visit the elderly, the shut-ins, people who aren't able to come out. We've got other people that tirelessly work to look after the building. We have people who look after our young people. And we've just got people who would just generally, if they see something needs doing, they do it. And they go and do it. And they do all sorts for the good of the church. And not just for the good of the church, but beyond the church, in their workplaces. If they're in a club, they'll look after people there. Their families. They are good people. But sooner or later, they will let somebody down. They will say a harsh word. They will not do something that they could have done in love. They'll have an off day when they've maybe got a headache and they decide that actually I won't go and see that person in the home. We all let other people down. We all break God's laws of love. So we may do our best to put others first, to care for others, and to love others. But sooner or later, we will all miserably fail. The lawyer asked, how do I obtain eternal life? That was his original question. And the answer lies in Jesus. Because by putting our faith in Jesus, by putting all our soul, strength, and mind in Jesus, by doing this, both the lawyer and ourselves can achieve eternal life. Now, I'd really urge anyone here, if this is news to you, if you don't yet know Jesus in your life, I urge you to go and talk to one of the leaders in the church. Go and talk to Moses, or me, or Helen and Martin. If you're a young person, go and talk to Kaylee, our youth leader. But go and talk to somebody about what it really means to be in Christ. Because actually, even the putting our soul, strength and mind in Jesus, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we have that time when we put our own desires first instead of for Jesus. But Jesus can meet us. He can deal with that sinful condition. And it's late this year, but towards the end of April, we will be looking at what he did to achieve the seemingly impossible goal of getting rid of our sin. But back to our lawyer friend. We're not told whether he did eventually find eternal life. We're not told whether he eventually came to Jesus. But we are left with this wonderful parable of how our relationships should look and how we should try to behave, even though we all know that at some stage we will let other people and Jesus down.